right now we have the chance to sit in meditation, so to develop both samadhi, this collected firm mind, and vipassana, insight. So when we talk about meditation, usually you refer to the development of the peace of the mind. But when we're practicing the Dhamma, there's both that and also the development of vipassana, insight as well. And so there's both the cultivation of calm, samatha, and the cultivation of insight, vipassana, and meditation to develop both of these. And we use these together as a pair. We've heard before that vipassana, it's the basis for wisdom. And we are able to be freed from suffering due to wisdom. That if we have effort and mindfulness, then wisdom comes up, and then we can be freed from all suffering. So some people think that samatha, therefore, is not necessary, and vipassana, insight, is better to develop, because that gives this clear seeing, that gives wisdom. And those beings who have attained to sotapanna, to stream entry, and to sakadagami, to once returner, anagami, non-returner, arahantship, full enlightenment, and they have had this wisdom to know clearly and see the truth. So we have heard this before. We also need to understand the meaning of this. And for wisdom to be able to arise, this needs a foundation. And that foundation is peace of mind. So Venerable Ajahn Chah, he gave a simile. And he said it's like one knife. And that knife, it has the handle, and it has the back of the blade, the sharp edge of the blade, and the point of the blade. And all of those come together. They're all there in the same place. And so the practice is the same as this. So it's like developing anapanasati, the observing the breath. So the in-breath and the out-breath. And this is a means of developing samatha, this peace of mind. And so we know that this will give us calm. And then when that calm is present, then there will be piti there, this rapture. And all these qualities of vitaka and vichara, this initial and sustained application is there with the breath. And then as that peace grows, then there's both this rapture and then happiness that arises. When that happiness grows and there's abundance, and then the mind gathers into one. It's ekakata aramana. So the mind just gathering onto one single object. And so there's stillness there. So when that mind is still, then there's vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekakata, all of these five factors gathering together in one single place. So this peace is an important foundation. So if we have a bit of energy to that peace, and we call that kanaka samadhi, and this mind which is just gathered together a little bit. If the energy, so there's just a small amount of energy there, but the mind is also thinking and there's some scatteredness too. If the mind has upajara samadhi, then this is very close to peace, close to becoming unified. And its energy is more. And it becomes easier to think about or to contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta, this inconstancy and stress and not self. To contemplate this body as just being a heap of various elements. to contemplate the body as being just something which is unattractive. But this still is samatha, is a samatha object. Or contemplating how life is not sure, but death is sure. This too is a calming object. But it feels like it's very close to having the benefits of wisdom. That there's this perception, a memory of change and stress and not self. And that's very close to wisdom. But it's not genuine wisdom. This genuine wisdom, it does arise from this basis of samatha, though. So the mind needs to be well settled into peace. There needs to be stillness there to it. And then we can see the body as anicca, dukkha, anatta. And here this is insight, this is vipassana. So therefore having mindfulness within the body, or mindfulness over the feelings of a mind or the Dhamma. The Buddha said that one who does this will experience peace. So observing the breath is a foundation for peace. Or contemplating the body as being unattractive, a heap of elements. These are all samatha objects of meditation. And so it's okay for us to use these then. And so these are methods then of bringing the mind to peace. All these various samatha, kamatana. And so there's samatha, which is calming objects, kamatana, which is the basis for our work, for our action. So the question may then arise when the mind is peaceful already, how is it that insight occurs? Well, when we see the body is merely a body, that it's not a being, not a person, it's not an individual, it's not me, it's not you. The body is just the four elements. And where is there a self to that? Well, there's no self there. You may say that it's called this name or that name, but that is just convention. And like how we call some things a dog and other things a cat and give various names, labels to different things. But these are just names. But when those things break apart and they break down already, we can't find any self to them. It's just emptiness. So here, this point of merely that, just that, that there's just a body, just feelings, just the mind, just Dhamma. That we can't find any being, can't find any individual, any person, any self or other there. That there is no being, no individual, no self, no other. So here it's the means of giving rise to an understanding and insight. These are anicca, dukkha, anatta. So when Venerable Anyakondanya saw the Dhamma, what he saw was that all that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. So he saw this arising and the ceasing, and that seeing was vipassana, insight. Like how we may contemplate then, we use His mind had this samatha there already present, and it was well established in samadhi already. And so all that took was for him to listen to the Dhamma, and he contemplated in line with that, and then he could see the nature of conventions. Well, like previously, I listened to a Dhamma teaching of Ajahn Chah, and he was talking about how this conventional nature of this glass being big, or this glass being a middle-sized glass, this one is a small one, and that all of that is just conventional. And so the mind was listening to that, and I really saw into that nature of convention. And here the mind changed. And the way that it saw things changed. It flipped over. And they saw into emptiness already. Saw all things as being empty. And the hall, the pillars, the Dharma seat, that all of that was empty. So here this is the object of vipassana that gives rise to wisdom, a knowledge occurring. So seeing into conventions, one experiences liberation. But normally we see things as being me and mine, that I am this and I am that. But that's just conventional. These are just temporary things. Like how we claim to have a home, to have children. But these are just conventions. But when we have wisdom, we see that all of that is constantly changing and stressful and not self. That there's no self to it. It's not a being, not an individual, not self or other. And this is vipassana. Ajahn Chah said that this is like a kind of lichen that grows in the trees. They can call old man's beard. And it's there in the trees, and it gets its sustenance just from the air. It doesn't need to have its roots in the ground. And so the objects of vipassana, or of insight, are anicca, dukkha, anatta. But we need to have that samatha, calming, first. Some people, however, are proficient at contemplation, so they use that vipassana initially. So like watching the breath come in and go out, and then they contemplate how this is arising and ceasing, and that there can be vipassana. Or we can observe how all the things in this world are just conventional things. So we can contemplate into the nature of material and immaterial qualities. So like when we see something, that there's this feeling and a feeling that that is a person. But then there's this insight that it's not really a person, it's just emptiness. And that I am not there. And this feeling of seeing is also not present. Sorry, there's no person there who is seeing. And so if there is this basis of samatha, and then one can do this. Like at the time of the Buddha, there was a monk who was constantly reciting to himself that bones are unattractive. He was contemplating the skeleton like this. And so he was meditating there, and then close by there was a village with a house, and a husband and wife were arguing, and the wife walked out, and she walked through the forest and passed this monk. And then the husband came to look for her, and he walked past this monk and asked, "Did you see a woman walk past?" And the monk replied, "No, I just saw skeletons walk past." So he just saw people as being skeletons. We can see people as being just like robots, that there isn't really a person there, there's no male or female. It's just natural elements. So when the mind is peaceful through these meditation objects, such as the contemplation of the bones, there are 40 of these Kamatana objects that the Buddha said or mentioned. So there's the 10 kasinas, the 10 asubha objects, the contemplation of the unattractive nature of the body. The contemplation of the body, there's the Brahma viharas, the divine abodes, and then contemplating the body as just being elements. And these are all methods of bringing the mind to peace, and just that, So don't worry about this. Some people say, I'm practicing samatha. Other people say, I'm practicing vipassana. But really, these qualities of samatha and vipassana, they come together in a pair. So if we don't have this foundation of samatha, of calm, and then the vipassana that we may claim to have is really just thought, that we think this is not sure, this is not constant, but it doesn't have any basis of peace to it. We contemplate that life is not sure, we contemplate that death is sure, and we can do this frequently and see that all people must pass away, that there's no self, there's no being individual there. So through that contemplation, then peace can arise. So there was a point where I was contemplating death a lot, and we had the opportunity to see an autopsy. And so I was contemplating already that all people must pass away and that life is not sure. And as they were cutting open this body, you could see how in the morning this person had gone to have breakfast and they had died and that food was still undigested there in their stomach. So they really went in deep that life is not sure like this. And the mind was peaceful. But this here was samatha meditation. So seeing that all people must pass away, must die, and seeing this body there lying in front of me, and the mind was still, and then it was just about to proliferate, just about to claim that this is a police officer, because they were putting the uniform back on it. And so that convention of police officer was just about to arise. But the proliferation hadn't yet happened, it was just a feeling that was coming up. But the mindfulness and wisdom were quick enough to catch that and to say or to realize that that's not actually true, that there's no person there. And so right here was the seeing of conventions. I was able to get a hold of these thoughts and proliferations and see that there really isn't a self there. And the mind became bright, its wisdom arose. So the wisdom of vipassana, what comes from vipassana, came up already. So when this insight appears, then we don't see people as people, that they're more like robots. It's like if we were looking at, say, people walking down a street, but we knew that some of them were robots, that we would understand that that's not a person, that's just a robot. But if the mind is peaceful and wisdom arises, then that's really how we see that there isn't a person there, there's no being, no individual, no self. There's no me, no them, that they are like this, and I am of this nature as well. So the seeing of Dhamma, the arising of Dhamma, it's like this. So therefore we try to train our minds to become peaceful and to contemplate. So this act of contemplation, we can use that wisdom to develop peace within the mind. So contemplating the word Buddha, its meaning, contemplating the elements, the body is just four elements, that it's not a self. Like we can observe the teeth within the mouth. And normally we get this feeling that it's me. But do those teeth claim to be me? Do they claim to be a tooth? And what about our bones? Do they claim to be a self? Do they claim to be bones? They don't say anything, they're just still and silent. And so when the body passes away, there's no breath, the fire element goes. But that fire element, it doesn't claim to be a fire element, it's just nature. However, we are the ones that attach to it, that we cling to these things as being self, and that's the cause for suffering to arise. So we need to use the wisdom there to see that these are just conventional things. When the mind is peaceful, then we can contemplate into the body and see it in that way. And it's really incredible when this happens. And we can see the body break apart, see it break down, and these elements of earth, water, fire, and air disperse. And this constant breaking down, this deterioration of the body happens until we see that there's no genuine substance to it. It just separates out. But when it comes together, really all that is just elements of nature gathering. However, when it separates, it's just emptiness. There's no genuine self within that. So this is the beginning of the seeing and of vimutti, liberation arising. And when this starts to happen, then the mind moves out of the world. You know, these states of gotara bodhicitta and gotara bodhijnana. And so the mind, which is starting to change its lineage and the knowledge that leads to that. So it passes over from this side to the other side. So perhaps we've read about this in the scriptures and we know about this already. But when we see it, we see that it really is this way. However, that needs this foundation of samadhi first. So it first requires us meditating and bringing up this samadhi. And so when that happens, then the mind can feel very at ease. There's this rapture there. So that's a state of kanaka samadhi. And it's possible for that to be constantly with us, that even outside of formal meditation, the mind is constantly in that state. And then when we come to sit in meditation, the samadhi drops into a deeper level. And here we can contemplate in an even clearer way. And so when we do walking meditation, sitting meditation, whatever posture, the samadhi is present. And the mind can be light and the body buoyant for many months. It's possible even 6 months. And so here the mind is peaceful and it's appropriate to be put to work. It's in a conducive state. We sit in meditation and then there's rapture and happiness arising in the mind. The mind gathers together into a single place. But when we read about these factors of samadhi, that we don't really know what they are. So we may read about vitaka, vichara, pitisukha, ekagata, and the mind, but when the mind is still, then it's not thinking at all. We may want for it to proliferate about this and that, but it just doesn't think. The kilesas want to push it into proliferation, but it just can't do it. But in here we really see what vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata actually are, that the mind gathers into one. And when it's gathered into one, it's unified, then contemplation becomes easier. That it's well established, it's firm. And then when it moves out of that state, and we contemplate the elements, we can separate them out and see how they're empty. The mind gathers together, sila, samadhi, and panya, as virtue, concentration, and wisdom gather. And there's this clear knowing.
Yeah.
And so if that insight is clear, then there's this knowledge, this vipassana that arises. And so the knowing and the seeing of Dhamma, it arises like this, and this is something which is possible for us. And if our samadhi is really strong, then that's all it takes to reach arahantship, the full awakening. So it's like Venerable Sivali, and he was having his head shaved, and he contemplated as the hair was falling, and he could see and know that this is not me. And how is that possible? Well, this was the arising of vipassana, but his mind was extremely still, that he had this great peace due to the old spiritual virtues that he had accumulated. The mind was gathered into this very deep state of jhana, of cessation. And so the first time the hair fell, then he realized sotapanna. And the second time, sakadagami. The third time, anagami. The fourth time, arahantship. And how is that the case? Because the mind was very strongly together within samadhi. And so that knowing could appear all at once. So it's possible then to listen to the Dhamma just one time and to realize full awakening. If the mind is ready for that state, if the calmness is present and is in a perfect state. However, if we don't have that, then we need to cultivate it. And so people may think that those who are developing vipassana, that they don't have much wisdom to them. And some people think that they're just not really able to develop vipassana well. And so then can people use, samatha well. So then can people use vipassana? And that's okay. We can contemplate all things as being changing and stressful and not self, and contemplate how this life needs to end in death. And we do that little by little, gradually. And the knowledge steadily grows and grows. And so like seeing the body as being unattractive, as being something which is not sure, and seeing it break apart, now in that breaking there's nothing beautiful to it. But we also need to be aware of our own disposition, because for some people, if they contemplate asubha a lot, then they get this feeling of just being fed up with the body, and that they don't want to stay in a body anymore. But that's not right. And so if we feel that our mind is inclining in that direction, then it's okay to look at beautiful things. So we can look at a Buddha Rupa that's being glazed in gold, and see how this is a very beautiful thing. You can bring up the recollection of the Buddha first, and as the mind grows and grows in its peace, it becomes still. And then we take that to contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta, use that as the objects of the mind for the sake of vipassana. So samatha, all that is these methods which bring about peace of mind. Vipassana, the means of bringing up insight, which are anicca, dukkha, anatta. So the arising of wisdom. But we do both of these together. And sometimes when we try to contemplate the body, the mind is still chaotic. It's not peaceful at all. So we need to bring up samatha first. And so we bring up that samatha until it's well established. And then when it is, then the insight or the contemplation is more effective and clearer. So this depends upon our foundation of sila, samadhi and panya, a virtue, collectedness and wisdom. And when these gather together, then we can see clearly and know clearly. And so when that happens, It's the Eightfold Path coming together. So therefore there's no need to doubt about any of this, and that we don't need to separate things out into samatha and vipassana, that the whole thing is the practice of the Dhamma. That it's both the practicing of calm and of wisdom together. So we train our minds in this way and try to do it constantly. And we just put these things down. There's no need to doubt about it. Don't have any doubts anymore. Really, it's normal for all people to doubt. For myself, when I was a layperson, I was hesitant and doubtful as well. That I wanted to be a vipassana practitioner, because I thought that samatha practitioners, they don't have any wisdom, they don't see things clearly. But really the basis of all of that is samatha. So what I was doing at that time was I was contemplating the body. But really that was samatha, but I just wasn't aware of it. I was developing a heart of loving kindness, and that too was samatha. But I just didn't know that that was samatha, didn't realize what was happening. So when that samatha is present, and then we see arising and ceasing, and then true wisdom can come up here. And so we carry on developing using these methods, developing both samatha and vipassana, until virtue, collectedness, and wisdom gather together, and we can attain to the Dhamma. So may you set your hearts on practicing like this. May you not doubt about this. And in the end, you will know and see the Dhamma. So may you grow in blessings.